This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is KT McFarland, who is a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan. She also worked for Presidents Nixon and Ford. She's now a national security analyst for the Fox News Channel. We want to get her thoughts today on the latest meeting between President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And KT, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
Well, a lot of eyes on this meeting, largely due to the way one of the more recent meetings went down when there was no cameras allowed of either still photography or TV cameras into film a brief statement from each of the leaders. And there just seemed to be a hostile type of atmosphere for that meeting a number of months ago. What do you make of not only the cameras being in there this time, but it seemed like it was a big deal and very pleasant language in the statements they made?
Yeah, well, first of all, Greg, anything would be better than the meeting that happened last March when there was no photograph, as you said, between the two. There was no handshake. There was no meal. It was about the biggest insult a president can give to any visiting head of state, and so anything is better than that. Now, what has this or has this not done to reassure the relationship? I mean, both President Obama and Netanyahu said, well, it's an unshakable relationship, we're committed to each other's security, blah, blah, blah. I mean, those are words, but what are the deeds that follow them up? The president can claim that he had, and rightfully so, that they've signed into effect very biting sanctions against Iran's nuclear weapons program, because at the bottom of all these issues between the United States and Israel, Israel and the Palestinians, the really big issue is Iran's nuclear weapons program. It's not Israel and the Palestinian settlements. That's a symptom. That's not the problem. The problem is Iran's nuclear weapons program and Iran's reach with Hezbollah and Hamas, the two terrorist organizations that are committed to the destruction of the State of Israel. So the question really becomes is what can President Obama do to reassure Netanyahu and Israel that we are going to do what we can to stop Iran's nuclear program? Because if we don't reassure them or if we continue to try to push them away, then what happens is Israel could well conclude that that their back is against the wall, that they have nobody who's going to help them stop Iran, and they've got to do it themselves and have some kind of a preemptive attack on Iran's nuclear facilities.
KT, we've heard the Iranians might have a deployable weapon anywhere from 1 to 3 to 5 years, depending upon which expert you listen to.
Right.
So do you believe that the latest round of sanctions will make a marked difference in deterring their nuclear ambitions?
Well,
what else could
the
president actually promise to do here that Netanyahu would feel comforted by?
Here's the thing. Iran needs three things for a nuclear weapon. They need enriched uranium, and we know they've got that. And they're enriching uranium, and depending upon which expert, as you said, we feel that they could have some is within the next year. The second thing they need is a missile to deliver that nuclear weapon. Well, we've seen that they've tested those, and missiles can reach at least 1,000 miles. The third thing they need is a blueprint that pulls it all together. We don't know how far along they are, but they could be anywhere from a year to, I don't think any experts say they're longer than 3 or 4 years away. So the clock is ticking. Now, what could we do? We've tried, and I think it's very late in the game. I think it's a Hail Mary pass, but these sanctions are better than nothing. Now, if the sanctions fail, say that in a year's time, 6 months' time, it's pretty obvious that they failed, Iran's behavior is not changing, then it will lead to the conclusion that you either have to bomb Iran or let Iran get the bomb. And that's the whole point of these sanctions and other things that we're trying to do, is you don't want to get in that position, because bombing Iran means a regional war in the Middle East as Iran retaliates. Letting Iran get the bomb means that there's a nuclear arms race in the Middle East, as all the other moderate Arab states, the Sunni Arab states, feel that they need nuclear weapons for their own. So sanctions are an attempt to forestall those two options, both of which are really lousy options. And that's why it's important to do it, even if it is a Hail Mary pass, because there's always a chance a Hail Mary pass works. But on the other hand, if a Hail Mary pass doesn't, you can at least make those other two calculations from the point of view that you have tried everything else. Now, one thing the president has failed to do is to encourage the democracy movement in Iran. And I think that has been a huge lost opportunity, that Obama should be doing what a Reagan did in Poland in the early 1980s, which is to encourage a democracy movement in Iran. And he has failed to do that, either encourage them with any moral support or encourage them with any assistance.
If you're Benjamin Netanyahu, what do you need to see in terms of changed Iranian behavior or other avenues of trying to change Iranian behavior coming down the pike before you finally go to that final card, which, of course, would be the military strike?
Yeah. I think you need to see things. First of all, you need to see Iran stopping its support of Hezbollah and Hamas. I mean, the attempt to break the blockade, the naval blockade that Israel has on Hamas. I mean, all that is Iran trying to break a naval blockade so that they can resupply Hezbollah and Hamas with weapons to attack Israel in the next war. So you want to see a change there. The other thing you want to see is the atmospherics of a change, where the president of Iran doesn't constantly on a regular basis talk about exterminating the state of Israel. If you did have the stop of resupplying of Hamas and Hezbollah, you would also want to see some kind of negotiations between Israel, not just in Fatah, which is the one group of the Palestinians that has at least stopped insisting that Israel has to be destroyed, but you'd want to see some kind of a movement on the part of Hamas, which has always said that they won't tolerate an Israel in the Middle East. So you'd want to see movement there. The other thing you would want to see is a lessening of Iran's squashing, I guess, of the democracy movement. And finally, you'd want to see some kind of steps that Iran is taking to stop its nuclear weapons program.
KT, we've got about a minute or so left in our conversation here, and we obviously talked about the background and the less than cordial meeting that we saw at the White House back in March, and I guess we didn't see it because there were no cameras there. Will this thawing of the relationship make a big difference moving forward? Did a lot improve today, or is that just mainly window dressing?
You won't know that until some time passes. What this is it's no longer, you know, the bleeding has stopped. It appears that at least both sides are reaching out to each other to say, we're not going to have it be, it's not going to get any worse. Now, whether it gets any better, we won't know, but it certainly doesn't seem to be getting any worse, which is good news.
No, that is good news. KT, thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Great pleasure.
KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also served under Presidents Nixon and Ford. She's now a national security analyst with the Fox News Channel. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.